Once again, great to be with all of you. I just said goodbye to Monsignor Bartilla, our Vicar General, and I was thinking about, we are truly blessed. I mean, he's just amazing. But our relatively new now, Bishop Haing is incredible. And one of the things I noticed that he talks about a lot is how much he loves being in, which is by and large a rural diocese. And I concur with him. You know, I always say that I was raised in suburban Madison over by St. Maria Gertie Parish. And honestly, I didn't meet a lot of rural people by living there. And it was mostly suburban people. So we had a suburban atmosphere, right? Whatever that is. But it was only till I became a priest, and then I would be assigned in parishes that were by and large in rural places, and I met rural people, and I was amazed, okay? I mean, one of the things that strikes me the most is with rural people that I've met is they just are who they are. They're authentic, you know? They don't put on any kind of pretense at all. They are who they are. And they have a strong sense of good versus evil, right versus wrong. You know, if their neighbor needs help, they just do it. Okay? There's no debate about it. If anybody needs anything, they just do it. And because why? Because of course you do something like that. You see, that's what I'm saying. Of course. It's this sense of goodness or sense of selflessness, okay, is so deeply ingrained, okay, that it's not an internal battle or anything like that. You do, of course you do that. That's what everybody does, isn't it? Okay? Well, they don't know that, not so much in suburban or, you know, or city folk, you know, but so much with that. So anyway, I'm blabbering on about how much I love rural folks, partly because today is the parable of the sower, right? And Jesus gives this parable, and most scripture scholars will say the reason he talks in parables to a lot of people is if he got too deep, he'd disconnect, okay? It's a little bit too much. So he tries to use parables or good analogies of what the kingdom of God is like to help people to try to make that connection. And probably a lot of people that he was talking with were rural folks as well. And so he says, he's something like this. It's kind of like this, he says, you know, and to help people to really understand what the kingdom of God is like. Okay, so he talks about places where the seed falls, right? So there's three places. It falls in the path and the birds take it up. Well, what is that? You know, we're given free will, okay? We're given free will, but there are factors that influence that free will, okay? And so if we're not careful, right, we can be swept away. So the first one is the birds. You know, it falls on the ground, the birds take it and fly away. That's the devil. The devil's always trying to get in. He uses a lot of half-truths, okay? He did it with Adam and Eve. You know, he said, surely you won't die. Yeah, listen, you know, you'll become gods yourselves, all right? And Adam and Eve are like, oh, okay, you know. And what do? They turn on God, and they turn into themselves. Okay? That's what the devil's always trying to do. Ultimately, whittle it all down. What being a Christian is, look at the cross and you can see what the Christian is. A Christian is a selfless, self-forgetting person. Okay? I always tell people, and I did it at the wedding I had yesterday too, I said, listen, you know, the two become one, okay? It's not 50-50, it's 100-100, okay? You give yourself totally to the other person, not half of your person, all right? You give yourself totally, but certainly in marriage, but in every way we live. That's, and again, rural folks know this. It's just in their bones, you know? But be careful because the devil will come in and he'll sweep you away, okay? The birds, if you're not careful, if you listen to these half-truths. The other place that that it falls is on that hard ground, right? You know, that rocky soil. Well, that's someone who doesn't allow the Word of God to get in. Doesn't allow God to get in. We keep God at a manageable distance, right? We keep him at arm's length so that he won't ask too much of us. Okay? So we dutifully follow our obligations and all that. And it talks in there, he says, that's like the person who receives the Word of God with joy, but then, you know, that kind of thing, because they get a distraction. It's this, you know, on the surface, rocky soil, superficial faith, right? Where we allow ourselves to get caught up more in a kind of lethargy and into our comforts, okay? Because the challenges of our faith are too hard. So keep God at a superficial level, arm's length, okay? So that there isn't much sacrifice required. So we want to go deep. We don't want to get too intimate and personal. See what I'm saying here? Okay, and then the third place that he talks about is those thorns. Okay, what is that? Well, that's a cultural influence. You know, all the ways in which the culture and the constant barrage of indoctrination, they hate God. Okay, they hate people who love God. And so they try to influence you. They try to choke off your relationship with God. Again, don't we see that in a lot of our family and friends? Where because they've accepted these cultural influences, they've allowed that to choke off the thorns, choke off the Word of God inside of ourselves. What the devil is trying to do is to get us disconnected from God. You know, we talk a lot about how the devil, a big word today we're seeing a lot is division, right? Division. Okay? And I reflected recently about how those in the culture are calling you and me divisive. Because why? Because we stand with truth, with the Word of God, with divine revelation, you know, sacred scripture, sacred tradition. But if we do that, we're divisive. See, because the culture wants to stand against truth, against divine revelation, and this is the new progressive way, okay, of standing against this. So come on with us. Oh, you're not going to? Okay, you're divisive. You see what's going on? And a lot of us are cowering in fear because, and maybe even believing that, you know, that, oh yeah, I guess I need to compromise or even betray truth to be united together here. Yeah, that's the lie of the enemy. Yeah, we want to be united. We're the United States of America. Built on what? Strong, the bedrock of civilization, the nuclear family. Great morals. And like I said earlier, rural folks are the best at that, I think. It's my opinion. Okay? They just have strong morals. They don't even have to think it through. And I think a lot of that is because while we're, you know, watching all these and being fed all these cultural influences, they're out in the field sweating up a storm. Okay? So that they don't get influenced by the devil, by the culture. Right? As much. They're amazing. Right? So real quickly, I want to share with you how we can be more united. Now, I say that by first saying, if we're ever going to talk about being united with each other, we have to talk about being united with God. So let's use the analogy of farming. Okay, so when farmers want to have a great harvest, how do they prepare for that? Number one, you got to clear the land. Okay, you got to take all the debris out, all the dead weeds and everything, anything that will challenge the plants or even kill them. What's that like? We got to go to confession. We got to go often. Okay, even if you didn't fall to serious sin that takes you completely off the ranch, okay, out of God's grace. But the little sins and the ways in which the world is trying to influence us, yeah, wears us down. Our grace tank gets low. Go often, frequently to confession, at least once a month. That's why I'm so accessible. Call me, text me, or just take a chance. I'm there. Come over anytime. Okay? This is an amazing sacrament where what? We clear the land. And oh, now the seed of God's power, His grace, His glory, His love can get inside. Find a good place. The other way in which we clear the land is fasting. A lot of people are stuck in repetitive sin. Why? Because they're not all that disciplined in their life. So fasting teaches us to go without something. And so we get strong in that ability to go without something. And so maybe it's not, you know, food, all right, particularly, as fasting classically is, but we fast from food to get disciplined, to get strong, so that we can fast from fill in the blank more easily. But what are we doing? We're clearing the land. These repetitive sins that keep filling up our lives. After you clear the land, what do you got to do? You got to soften the soil. You got to plow it, spade it. Okay? Make it so that the seed can get down in. All right? So that it can germinate. If it's hard like concrete, farmers know this, the seed falls on the ground and it just remains a seed. Okay? It doesn't reach its greatest potential. It stays in that hard husk. How do we soften the soil? I've 32 years of priesthood, I always claim that, so that I'm this big, experienced, and wise guy, right? I'm mostly a wise guy, but anyways. But this is what I'm seeing. Conversion after conversion. And I'm not talking about leaving a religion and coming to ours as much, or being an atheist. I'm talking about people who go deep. Okay, maybe they had that superficial faith, or maybe they were much of an agnostic. Okay, I'm spiritual, but not religious. Superficial. It's just for their brand. You know, look at me, I'm spiritual. Okay? Adoration. We try to provide it often here that with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, but listen. Your grandparents and your great-grandparents knew about adoration. And what did they do? They did what's called chapel visits. They drove by. I just saw a couple yesterday that did this. They're dating. And so awesome. They pulled up as I was pulling away. Hey, Father, is the church open? It's amazing. I mean, young people are starting to really red pill on what it means to be a strong spiritual person. But they just wanted to spend time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. It's really nice and it's awesome if we can expose the Blessed Sacrament, but Jesus is here in the tabernacle. If not pulling up, hoping the church is open, you know, come early or stay late for Mass. Right? What is that? That's your time, your special time to get close. To say, yes, I do believe you are God in the Holy Eucharist. Yes, I want to get near to you. Yes, I want to stop my treadmill of life and just stop and be with you for a while. That softens the heart. That softens the heart so now your faith can go deeper. See, you're not doing this arm's length, manageable distance thing. Superficial faith. You're saying, yes, I want to go deep. And I've seen incredible, I hear people's story about their conversion, and I think it's 9 times out of 10 that it revolves around an experience they had with adoration. Okay? Adoration. The other thing is prayer. Well, of course you're supposed to pray. And I'm talking about, listen, you give God due respect, reverence, honor, when you do the prayers that he's shown us through Mary and the saints. Of course, the rosary, right? But those are what's called formal prayers. And they're important. We need to do them. But we need to do that intimate, informal prayer all day long. Talk with him. He's right there. Okay? Or have we kept our faith superficial so he's only there when we turn him on, when we go to church or whatever, or pick up a rosary? You know, see, that softens the heart. When you acknowledge that you're in relationship, see, he wants to make it personal. Again, not arm's length, not manageable distance. You're saying, no, come in. And I will listen to you. And I will do your will. Okay? I love you. You're my everything, and I want to please you. Okay? See, that's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. That intimate prayer, that personal prayer. Okay, so that's how we soften the soil. Adoration and intimate prayer. What do we need to do next? We need to fertilize the soil. Oh, I smell that around here oftentimes. And the farmers tell me, Father, that's the smell of money, right? But what is it? You know, you're enriching the soil, right? You're putting good nutrients into the soil so that seed has a chance to really germinate and break open and become the best version of itself it can possibly be. So we want to enrich the soil of our hearts. The very first way to do that, Jesus' mom. Okay? Jesus loves the soul that loves his mom. That's just a fact. Okay? You got a great relationship with the blessed mother. Jesus is like, I'm coming into that soul. Alright, see, you're enriching that soul with doing what really, really, really pleases God. He chose Mary to be his mom. Okay? So if we're in relationship with him, we're praying and calling out to her in intercession, especially through the rosary. Okay, here's the other way to enrich the soul. Believe everything the church and the Bible teaches. Again, divine revelation. Live in truth. Okay, again, sacred scripture, sacred tradition. Live in truth. Don't make up your own religion, all right, that says, well, I believe most of it, but I don't believe this part and that part. Well, what are you going to call that? Heilmanism, if I do that? It's not Catholicism. You enrich the soil when we don't betray God by making up our own religion, where we do what's called cafeteria Catholicism. I like this part about our Catholic faith and this part about our Catholic, but not so much this part over here. No, you love the whole thing. Okay? And we got to make some big decisions going into this election. Because there are entities that directly defy, betray, oppose the Holy Spirit and the truths of God. And does that rise to the level of mortal sin? You work that out with God and yourself. Then the other thing is, God has revealed himself to us in so many wonderful ways and given us so much. The rosary, other devotions, the sacraments, sacramentals, you know, the saints, the holy souls, purgatory. You go on and on. What is this? This is a rich treasure chest of the Catholic faith. It's awesome. They're jewels of the faith. Jesus gives them to us. And it's like Christmas morning. Don't you love the jewels of the Catholic faith? And he's kind of watching and go, what's your reaction? Well, no, not so much. You know, that's what those people believed back then. You know what? We've arrived now, okay? And we're creating this new religion, okay? That doesn't like the... You know what I'm saying? Imagine doing that on Christmas morning. Jesus has handed over this rich treasury to us. Passed it down. It's our heritage from generation to generation. No. We're better than all the other generations. So we've red-pilled. So we don't like any of that stuff. We got this new way. Do you see what I'm saying here? You want to enrich the soil? You be like that kid on Christmas morning. Look at how awesome this Catholic faith is. Right? I want to play with it. You know, be like that. Because God's given you all these gifts. Passed them down generation to generation. So he's going to love that soul that loves those gifts. Then finally, we have to be out in the world. Okay? And sometimes it gets a little dicey. You know, yesterday's reading said, people will hate you because of my name. Okay, we have to be out there, you know. We have to live our regular lives. And we have to remain strong. But you know what we need? We need each other. Okay? I'm all in. I know you are too. And I got to spend time with you. Okay? We have to be... And iron sharpens iron, it's called. Strength builds up strength. Okay? I'm not saying exclusivity, because again, we got to be out in the world and we got to go evangelize the world. But we've got to be around strong people so that we encourage, support, build up each other. The other thing, too, is if we're going to go out and evangelize people, they have to come to a place filled with joy and love and peace and patience. Which is what? Okay, we talked about what the farmers do. It's akin to what happens in the soul. Okay, so that what? So that the plant can germinate, break open, reach its greatest potential, right? The best version of it possibly can be so that it can what? So that it can produce fruit. You can't give away what you don't have. Okay, we want to give away the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5 is love. Be obnoxious in your love. Again, I'm going to pick on rural folk again. They know this. Of course we're supposed to love each other. All right? Of course. I'm not thinking about this. In other words, they're not fake. They're real. So what aren't they? They're not selfish and self-centered. Great example for all of us. We are called to be totally selfless. That's what I was telling the couple yesterday. Totally selfless, self-forgiving, and just love on each other. So if you've got this power, this seed that germinated, broke open, and is reaching for the stars to be the best version it possibly can be, now you got a lot of love to give. Okay? If you don't have a lot of love to give, review the lesson for today. What's missing? What's keeping you from being obnoxiously loving? Joy, the other fruit of the Holy Spirit. Smile. Again, you know, well, look at my, look at me, and what about me, and my rights, and my, okay? And people get so focused on that, that it messes with their brain. Be free. You know, that's the most psychologically healthy way we can be. Don't get locked in here so much. Just forget about all that. Just be self-forgetting, selfless. And so be as joyful as you can be. Develop a sense of humor, maybe. You know? Try to help lift people up in their day. Then the next fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. You know what that is? Don't be high maintenance. Don't get in with something and then the next thing what we're going to do is you're going to do this for me, okay? Again, rural folk know this. Somebody needs help, you go do it. All right? What am I saying there? You're a peaceful presence. Sometimes people who are high maintenance, people get nervous around them. They're like, oh boy, you know. Because why? Because that person is thinking, okay, here's my agenda, and now you need to do it. Okay, peace, a peaceful person is a person that automatically is like, what do you need? What do you want? Be patient with people. Give them a lot of latitude. You know what? There's days where I slept 2 hours in the morning, and I might snap at someone. Can you please forgive me? I'm having a bad day. Again, I told that to the couple too. You're going to have bad days. One of you are going to have bad days. Okay? Don't hold that against them. We live in a culture right now where people are almost looking for a reason to condemn another person. You know, the words that are used is, don't judge me. Well, I think what they mean there is, don't condemn me. Just because I did this on that day, or maybe these days, okay, that's not who I am. I didn't have my coffee. Or, you know, something happened. Okay? That happens to us. Patience. Give people a lot of latitude. The next ones are just flow from all those. Kindness, generosity, self-control basically means temperance. Don't go wild, you know. Be out of control. No, don't have a filter. You have to have a filter. I call it the God filter. Okay, some people just blurt things up or do things without thinking through, okay, is this what God would want me to do? So they stay in God control. All right? Of course I can't do that. We say before we decide not to do that. Okay? Of course I can't say what just came into my mind to that person because I'll offend them. Right? It's a God filter. We're in control, in other words. Or we let God to be in control of our lives. Okay, went a little longer today. And I do that. It's your fault, rural folk, that I went a little longer today. But I think this is important. We want to be unified. We want to be, we're the United States of America. Founded on Judeo-Christian principles. What does that mean? We're founded on the truths of sacred scripture. Okay? We need to be strong and united in that. We're going to be called divisive because of that. That's a lie. When people want to break from everything that we've ever stood for as an American Judeo-Christian country, if they want to break from that and then turn back and point a finger at us that we're being divisive because we're not breaking with them, okay? That's a lie. My brothers and sisters, what's needed more now than ever is for us to become strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, and to try our best to be unified with the truths of God, everything that's built this great nation of ours into the great nation that it is. That's the place where we stand. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.